Yeah. Okay. This is the March 3rd, 2015 meeting of the Pacifica National Board Governance Committee meeting. I'm the chair. I'll read the roll. Lona Elias, Teresa Allen.
Allen is here. Mr. Chair, I would like, Mr. Chair, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
I'd like to resign from this committee.
You would?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, thanks for being here, and you're now resigned, and we won't count you for quorum.
Thank you for your time.
Okay. Lydia Brazon?
Here.
Mal Bernstein?
Yep.
Rilena Castellanos? Benito Diaz?
Present.
Vanessa Dixon-Briggs? William Heerwagen? Kim Kaufman? Pat Logan? Tony Norman?
Present.
Andrea Pritchett. I'm here. George Ryder. Issa Naratomi. Nancy?
Oh, sorry, I'm here. Thank you.
Okay. Well, Serene Roberts. Eight. So that makes nine. Is there anybody who's on the governance committee that I haven't called?
Is John Winger on the list?
Yeah, you're on the list. I did call you, and I thought you said yes. So anyway,
kind of. I intended to say yes.
Okay.
I don't think you called Jose Luis Fuentes.
No, I did.
Oh, you did? Okay. Okay.
No, maybe I did not. I think I skipped him and went to William here. Jose Luis, are you here?
Okay.
Okay, so we do have quorum. We have, I think, several people from the Elections Committee. All of them were invited. If you're from the Elections Committee, would you speak your name?
Janet Hogan.
Anybody else? Okay. The agenda consists of approval of the agenda, approval of past minutes, which I don't think we have any, the postponed discussion of the 2015 elections, report of the work group on bylaws amendments, consideration of confidentiality policy and statement, discussion of secessionist tendencies at KPFT. I'm sure that should still be there. Resolve that meeting dates, including recurring meetings on the an issue involving what to do if a committee meeting needs to be canceled or how to cancel. So, is there any?
Hello?
Yes. Are there any changes to the agenda that people would like to make?
Can you hear me at all?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Oh, I asked for a point of information a while ago.
Oh, yeah.
There's a horrible echo. When was the agenda sent out? I'm not on the list, so maybe that's the reason I didn't get it, but I'll check. What time was it?
It's on KPFTX. And
what time was it sent out? What time did you say you sent it out?
Yesterday. And it was sent out again by Benito, I think, along with two motions, 6:05 today.
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay. I'm not on the list, so I guess that's why I didn't get it. I don't know why I'm not on the list, but whatever.
And my item was not on the agenda.
Oh, it is on. I just didn't read it. Consideration of confidentiality policy and statements.
Okay.
That was right after the report of the work group on bylaws amendments.
Okay.
Yeah, Sean?
Michelle, can you send me your motions, please? Just send it to me directly.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah, so I just read something that said that the PNB voted that all bylaws amendments through this year or immediate period have to be in by March 17th, and so I don't know if this rumor is true, but if it's true, then I think we need to discuss the illegality, the unbylegality of it. I don't believe that that's appropriate, and so, but I defer. I mean, I'm just talking about a rumor. So if it's really true, then we need to put it on the agenda and talk about it.
I think it's March 19th. Where would you like to put it?
Well, up front, because, well, I mean, it seems to me that, well, I don't know. If people have bylaws amendments, I mean, I don't understand why. Let's put it up near the front, because March 19th, we're already in March. What is this, the 2nd or the 3rd?
Can we put it right after the elections situation?
Okay, with me.
Yeah, be fine.
Is there any objection to putting that discussion after the discussion of the elections? Okay. Any other changes to the bylaw, to the agenda?
George.
Yeah.
Benito.
Yeah.
This is not so much an agenda item. I'd like to make a statement.
Can it wait till we approve the agenda?
Sure.
Okay.
So I can say it right before we start business?
Yeah.
All right.
Is there any other changes to the agenda? Is there any objection to the agenda? Okay. Hearing none. Go ahead, Benito.
Okay, I just want to say that it's really unfortunate that this meeting, went down the way it went down, because at the last meeting, the election portion of it, we decided that we would hold a subsequent joint elections and governance meeting, and we were going to take a poll. We agreed that we would take a poll, and we would vote on either February 24th or March the 2nd. And either way, we would have a joint meeting on either one of those two dates. And the way that, George, you ended up sending out that notice of this meeting, it cut short that process. And as you can see, there's only one or two elections committee members here tonight. I don't know what that's about. But I thought that the whole idea was that we proceed along the road that we had taken in terms of these joint meetings. So I just hope that we can continue the process of joint meetings until we resolve this issue. If it, I don't know how much longer it's going to take, but...
Well, I didn't remember, and I wasn't aware that we had actually agreed on that. I knew we'd postponed the discussion. I thought we postponed it to this meeting, but I hear you. My sense is that there's nothing lost by having the governance committee discuss this and come to some agreement. We've been And I've invited people from the elections committee to be here. Janet Coburn is here, she was the main person that I was interested in having here, particularly because it's her motion. There are really two motions on the floor, and there have been for some time. And it seemed to me it was time for us to make a decision. That doesn't preclude the Elections Committee making a decision. It doesn't preclude the governance people from being on the Elections Committee when it makes a or being guests on the Election Committee as it makes a decision. But as far as the governance issues are concerned, it seemed to me that they have been pretty clearly outlined by Serene's motion and Janet's motion. And I was hoping we could actually come to our recommendation. I mean, these are all recommendations in any case. But in any case, that's the first item on the agenda, is the question of what to recommend as far as the 2015 elections.
This is Lydia. I'm Serene for the staff after Lydia.
Okay, Lydia, and then Serene.
Just William here, where I can just join in the call.
Hi, William.
Thank you.
I'm just, this is a housekeeping question. How do I, when I hit respond to the GovList, the KPFTX message, like producing additional PMB meetings, when I hit reply all, it still only gives me the person, one person. How do I sense the, I was going to send the bylaws timeline that the PMB approved to the group.
I think if you send it to GovList, it works.
If I hit reply all, it just has, for example, your email address.
Type in the address for GovList.
Pardon?
Type in your to section, in the to box.
Yeah.
Type in the actual email address, govlist@kpftx.org.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Yeah. And Serene, you're next.
Okay. So, I do remember the last call, and I remember specifically that we talked about the Elections Committee meeting on the 3rd, and anyway, whatever, Benita's been through that. I'm sorry that messed up happened, but on the issue of bylaws, which Lydia is going to send now, I'd actually like to have that added. I didn't know we had created a work group on bylaws amendments. When did that happen?
Well, it's coming up. I don't think we did.
It says report of work group on bylaw amendments.
Oh, okay, that one. Yeah. What that was the work group that was supposed to get past policies. So it's badly worded. It was a work group on going back and finding out what had been passed by the PMB. And Janet Coburn actually did a heroic job of doing that, and I sent you all that. That's what I intended to talk about. It's not really about the bylaws, so that's my mistake.
Okay. So is Lydia sending? Sorry, if I can call.
Yeah, I just heard it. Should I send it? I'll send it to you.
I'm not on the list.
Yeah, I'll send it to you.
Okay. So. Were you sending that because you want it discussed? Because I would like to have it added to the agenda. Was that your intention?
It has already been added to the agenda by John Wenger after the question about the elections.
The question about the elections.
The one we're doing now.
Before the misnamed bylaw amendment work group. Okay.
Correct.
All right. Thank you.
So,
George, can I speak?
Actually, I'd like to get the two motions on the floor.
It goes to the order.
Yes.
I was just thinking about it here. It seems to me the bylaws amendments should go first because the possibility of bylaws amendments opens up the possibility space for the solutions to the elections. That is to say, that we've got two motions right now under the existing bylaws, but if we modify the bylaws, then we have more possibilities and maybe some better solutions. I just think it ought to be discussed first for that reason.
Well, there aren't any bylaws changes that are going to be made within at least 105 days of March 20th.
This is Lydia. To the fact.
Okay. As far as that's concerned, there's nothing that we could say or do tonight that would effectively change the situation with regard to the bylaws, and we already decided to put it on immediately afterwards. And so I would rather continue with the discussion and, in fact, get both of the motions for the elections from Janet and Serene presented rather than change the order and go into a different discussion, which
well,
does
my,
not...
My question is this. If the people are not going to be seated until December, then what's the hurry? Why not open up the possibility space to changing the bylaws so that we could have some other solutions? I mean, if they're not seated till December, the elections do not have to be in April.
If you want to raise that point in a discussion of the when to do the elections, which is basically what I hear you saying, let's not bother. If I understand you correctly, please, you can. But my ruling is that we're going to go ahead with the agenda, which is we're going to begin discussing the question of what are we going to do about the elections. There are two motions on the floor already. They haven't been stated, but I'd like them to be stated. Lydia, you wanted to be on the stack. Can I move to the discussion of the elections, or is it something else?
Well, I wanted to comment on what John said. I don't think it's necessary to move the bylaws discussion. I plan to address the bylaws and the possibility that John Wenger said. We'd only have to start the date by which people have to be nominated by a week at the latest, and it might be able to be done before that. So I agree with John. I think it has an impact on my decision and the way I'm going to vote, but I'll make that case during the discussion on the elections motion. Thank you.
Mr. Chair?
Yes?
This is Mal. I wonder if the proponents of each motion would agree to a format to present them to be one election for 12 people versus one election for 24 people.
Well, I'm going to give them a chance to present their motions. We have the full text of them. They can summarize or amend them any way they wish in presenting them. And so I'm going to leave that up to them.
Okay.
Let's see. Janet, would you go first, and would you vote for the stream and for us? We do have the text in front of us, but what is the essence of, summarize the motion for us or present it to the floor as you would like.
Okay, I'm a little confused. You said to read
present
the motion,
it to the floor,
and then to
whoever
the
you would like.
And then you said to summarize, and then, okay, so...
if you wish to read it,
it's fine with me to read it, but I also would like to speak to it.
Yes.
So, can I do both?
Yes.
Okay. So, okay. Whereas the PNB passed a motion on December 4th, 2014 to have delegate elections in 2015, and whereas the 2013 delegates election was postponed from the second year in the 2012 to 2014 election cycle to 2014, the third year, and that election did not take place, and whereas the new three-year election cycle is between 2015 and 2017, and the bylaws specify that delegate elections are to take place in year one and year two of that three-year cycle. And whereas the motion did not specify whether the 2015 election would be the one that did not take place in 2014 or a regular election in the first year of the 2015 to 2017 election cycle, move that the PMB election committee, well, this was presented to the election committee, recommend to the PMB that the 2015 delegate elections modeled after the 2003 transition election, which is spelled out in the bylaws, Article 4, Section 7, substituting the language with the current dates as follows. For the 2015 election only, all LSB seats are to be elected where the 3 staff delegates and 9 listener-sponsored delegates for each radio station's highest rank in this election shall serve for a term expiring December 2018. And the next highest ranked 3 staff delegates and 9 listener-sponsored delegates shall serve for a term expiring in December 2016. This election would have the effect of combining 2 elections into 1. The 2016 election of delegates, delegate elections shall proceed as usual in accordance with the remainder of the provisions of this article and these bylaws. And that any candidate elected who would turn out before the end of their term would be replaced by the next highest ranked available candidate from the 2015 election, and that to accommodate recruiting candidates to run for twice as many seats as usual, that the timing of the combined election should follow the bylaws as though the NES is selected in March 2015 and proceed with the timeline as laid out in the bylaws. And where all 24 candidates elected would be seated at the December 2015 LSB meeting. That's the proposal, and now may I speak to it?
Yes.
Okay. So, as you know, the 2013 PNB voted to change the sequence of the bylaws mandated elections for 12 seats to take place in year 2 of the 2012 to 2014 three-year election cycle, that is 2013, to year 3 in 2014. That delayed election did not take place in 2014, as you know. Now we are in a new three-year election cycle, 2015 to 2017, where year 1 is 2015 this year, and year 2 is next year, 2016. Each election is supposed to be for 12 seats. No elections are to be held in 2017. Saleh's motion is to hold the bylaws mandated 2013 election, the one that has not yet happened, for 12 seats, hold that election this year, delaying the bylaws mandated 2015 election that is supposed to happen in year 1 of the 2015 to 2017 election cycle to 2016, and then back on track in 2018. Her proposal effectively cancels the bylaws mandated election that is supposed to take place in year 2 of the 2015 to 2017 election cycle and extends the terms of the 2012 LSB members, effectively disenfranchising what might have been 12 new LSB members. All this compounds the problems that started when the 2013 election was delayed. We are under the microscope of the AG, and we have to show we are trying to correct mistakes that were made in the past. My proposal would use the 2003 transition election, which is laid out in the bylaws, where this year the 12 seats for the year 1 2015 election and the 12 seats from the non-existent 2013 election would be combined into one election, the first half with three-year terms and the other half with one-year terms. The 2016 year 2 election would bring us back on track to fill those seats elected to one-year terms with seats for a three-year term. which would be December 2016 to 2019. It would also apply to all stations, not just KPFK, which had a special situation in 2012. So, as far as the number of people, you know, this would be 24 people, 24 seats as opposed to 12. There, some members have been waiting to run since 2013 and 2014, and also maybe thinking ahead to this year. So there's kind of an accumulation. I would think there's an accumulation of members who would want to run. And there would be continuity, and there are people who are concerned, oh, all 24 seats would be replaced, because there would be plenty of current LSB members who have not turned out, who will run and win. So I'll stop there.
Thank you. Serene, would you like to present your motion?
I'll be brief. If someone else wants to read it, that's fine. I can't. I'm not in a position to read it right now. And I'm not sure that reading this for the stream is terribly, reading motions over the long motions over the stream is helpful. Basically, having failed to have an election in 2013 where those people who had been elected in 2010 for a three-year term would have an opportunity to run or leave if they were term limited, whatever the case is, those people stayed on. So there are people who ordinarily might have been expected to leave the board or to run again, who remain on the board. Essentially, their terms have been extended effectively for 2 years. That's just a fact that has nothing to do with which motion you want to support. The question becomes now, and when my statements apply to the stations other than KPFK. KPFK is different in that in its last election round, it did not meet quorum, and therefore the board membership, except for those persons who might have reached their six-year maximum, continued on the board. KPFK is different in that regard, and it will have to have its entire board up for election, regardless. The bylaws, just for the record, as a reminder, the bylaws state that no individual may serve for more than six consecutive years, on their local station board. For me, the bigger concern, and it's true people have overstayed their terms, that was unavoidable. I don't think anyone, you know, planned to not have an election in 2013. It did not happen. And, you know, we don't even need to get into why it didn't happen. It just didn't happen. And we've begun the election process in 2014 in the sense that an NES was put in place, but the actual elections will take place in this calendar year. The primary consideration for me is to not have an entire board open to be turned over in a single election, which is precisely what we would be doing if we insisted that the other four stations where there was not a quorum problem during the last election also go ahead and do a full 24-person election. I think the bylaws were very specific in crafting staggered elections so that the fate of the foundation, if you will, would never rest on the results of a single election. I think that should be avoided at all costs. That's it.
Thank you. My understanding, Serene, and Janet, is that Serene's motion was a substitute for Janet. Is that correct? Is that the way it was presented at the last meeting?
I don't remember. I have no idea. At the last meeting,
my motion preceded Janet.
Your motion preceded Janet, so Janet's was a substitute for yours. So I'm going to put it on that way. The way this works is you can discuss either one, you can amend either one, but we'll vote on Janet's motion first. The stack is now open for discussion, amendments, whatever you like.
So, Wenger, to the queue. Court of Information? May I also speak again?
I'm sorry, go ahead.
May I also get on the staff?
Oh, yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Vanessa to the staff. And Lydia to the staff.
I'm sorry, was that Vanessa?
Yes.
Georgie, do you hear me? I was in there right at the time of the point interview.
Yeah, you. I have John, Janet, Vanessa, and Lydia. Okay,
and
John.
Benito to the stack.
And Benito. Yeah, John.
Okay, I thought there was a point of information there.
I thought so too, but
Since I represent KPFK here, I just want to underline Serene's concern about the two elections, or having a single election which determines and elects an entire board in one election. My station, which is at stake here, I think we have to find a way to solve this problem, and the only way to do it is to have two elections. So we need to amend one or both of these motions so that KPFK has two elections. And frankly, I would like to see an election as soon as possible, and then seat the people as soon as possible, not wait till December. The KPFK electorate really cannot handle electing 24 people at once. They just are not up to it. And so if we do that, it will be a very poor quality election in terms of the candidates, because we're not going to be able to find 24 first-rate candidates, and the electorate is not going to be able to elect them, even if we can produce the good candidates. So it's a disaster. And so we have to find a way to have two elections, and we should have one as soon as possible and one later in the year or even next year. The people talk about the bylaws in two ways. They say, well, the bylaws require us to do this, but the bylaws are in conflict and we've done a lot of violations, et cetera, et cetera. So we have to, the best we can do is whatever. And the fact of the matter is, what we really need to do is to protect the spirit of the foundation. And I was there, I was on the bylaws committees that wrote this last set of bylaws. And Serene's concern was predominant. The people who wrote these bylaws did not want us to have that kind of vulnerability. And we talked about, that Korean guy, Reverend Moon or something, coming in with lots of money and taking us over. That vulnerability persists. The far right is still rich. We really should be careful here. So we need to find a solution, and so I don't have wording yet, but I will, before the evening's out, I will amend one or both of these motions so that KPFK does not has a split election just like everybody else does. We deserve to be treated that way as well. And as long as we're consistent with the spirit of the bylaws, I don't foresee the Attorney General giving us any flack over the matter. As long as we're clear in our rationale, it's very clear in the bylaws that the intention was to have split elections. And only when you started this new set of bylaws would we have a pooled election. So as long as we're crystal clear in our rationale, I believe we can split it, and we need to split it, because we need to avoid that dire risk.
Okay. Thank you. Janet?
No, I wasn't on the stack yet. I did have a point of information. No, I asked if I could be on the stack. Oh, I meant, could I be part of the discussion? I'm not ready.
Oh, I see. So as a member of the elections, yes, yes, you can. Anybody else here from the elections committee, you can speak whenever you want. Vanessa.
Okay, so I have kind of long advocated, as long as this discussion has been going on, kind of even long, that we have one election to save money and get this thing done as quickly as possible, and let the one election be, sort of a staggered purpose. But having said that, I actually withdrew my own sort of kind of one election motion, I won't call it a motion, it was an idea concept, for the reasons that are being stated in terms of the dangers of changing over an entire board in one fell swoop. And the danger's real, and I've been in enough organizations, and I work for unions, and I've seen what can happen when you get just a few people with malintent. It doesn't take a lot of people to create a whole bunch of chaos. We got enough chaos already. So as much as I really would like to see, and I thought it was possible initially, to have one election serve several purposes, both in terms of money and hastening this process, getting people off board who've already overextended their terms, getting people on who, you know, should be on, who should have an opportunity to run in all fairness to them and to the listeners. I think the overriding concern at this point is making sure that, to the extent possible, we maintain the stability and the integrity of the organization. And I think it's too dangerous to do anything. Having advocated this idea myself, I now think it's really too dangerous to have one election. As noble an idea as it is, and I appreciate the attempt at trying to do that, but I don't think it's worth the cost.
Loopbot is recording this call for the call leader's future use.
I'm done.
Thank you. Lydia?
Yes, well, for the very reason that Vanessa just mentioned, that it only takes one or two people, does not take 24, and usually doesn't, it would be unlikely that they would do anything, they, whoever they are, would do anything that conspicuous. And we don't have anything in the bylaws that protects us from that. That is to say, it's not like we're asking for bios or resumes that are verifiable or background checks or anything of the kind. I'm not advocating those. I'm just saying those are the only things that would give us an inkling about people that we don't know who they are. And it doesn't take much. It usually is just one or two provocateurs. So I don't think that that's like a good argument not to have the one election. The reason we're all on the board is to protect the foundation. So if there's a couple of people and it's, you know, the rest of us, and there are 70,000 members, if, you know, some outside group came in and tried to take it over, we would have another big blow up like we did in 99. It's just, you know, I just think that it's short-sighted. I think it's a little bit too paranoid for my blood, because maybe because I'm active in a lot of organizations, I can see that we can come up with 24 people. And I think that a lot of this is driven by factionalism, where maybe particular factions, each faction doesn't feel they can come up with 24 people. They think that's their goal. And it would actually be quite healthy just to have, you know, the listeners that are devoted to the station come in as well. However, so that's not a compelling argument for me. 120 people, if it were 24 times 5, is 120 out of 70,000 from the last election. That just, if we can't have 120 people of our listeners who are interested in participating in governance, then we have to really reevaluate the value of these elections. So anyway, so I'm going to support Janet's motion, and that's about it.
Okay, thank you. Benito?
Oh, I'm sorry. Wait a minute. I'm sorry. George, the main reason I forgot, I said at the beginning, the bylaws. The bylaws timeline ends on, now I'm driving, but anyway, it ends, I believe, on July 6th, I believe, all of the LSBs should have voted on the bylaws, and it certainly might happen before that. So it is conceivable that if in this cycle, and by the way, I'm going to change my position and for the first time vote to reduce the size of the LSBs, that could also have an effect. So if we vote for bylaws proposals that have been proposed before, like to reduce it to 17, then we wouldn't have 24. At least it removes seven of them. And so that can actually have an effect. But anyway, that was just my caveat in terms of the bylaws amendments. Thank you.
Okay. Benito. Benito? You're probably muted, Benito.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I keep on forgetting that I was muted. So the bylaws say a lot of things. They said that we were going to conduct this 24-person election one time only in 2003, or whenever that was. They also said that people are supposed to be elected for either a 3-year or a 1-year term. And now we have people that have been on this LSVs and PMB for, you know, people that were elected for one term have now been elected, have now been on an extra 2 years. And under Serene's motion, those people that were elected for 3 years in 2012 would now get an extra year, and so they go on up until, you know, next year. Somehow, that doesn't seem right to me. You know, the listener members who elected us have some rights. And I don't think that we're paying attention to listeners' rights. We're only paying attention to, as Lydia said, you know, can my faction get so many people elected? When it shouldn't be about factions. And I think that there's another element here that we're not talking about. And that's the fact that we're under a microscope. So I don't think we're under the microscope of the California AG, right? Now, I like to know how anyone is going to go before the AG and argue that we shouldn't have elections to correct the wrong that was created in 2013 and that was compounded in 2014. How do you argue that, well, we're concerned that some unnamed force might swoop down and take over our LSB or all five LSB? You can't even say who that force is. So I think that we're on a slippery slope here. You know, I think that we need to demonstrate to the membership of the foundation and to the community, and also to the members that be. I ain't like, anybody knows me, knows that I'm not too impressed by authority, to say the least.
I check that. Nevertheless, credibility.
John, please. Benito's still speaking, and I'm giving them the time to say what he needs.
I can't hear him. He's going in and out of audibility.
Oh, okay.
Ask him to try to be more audible.
Benito?
Maybe if I lower it. Is that any better?
Let's find out.
Just make sure it's constant distance, whatever you do.
Yeah, okay. Sorry about that. So anyway, what I'm trying to say is, you know, given that we're under the microscope of the AG, whatever we do is going to, you know, has to be up and up. And it's my understanding that one of the things that the California law takes very seriously is the issue of elections. And so here it is that we have 2 years in a row we haven't conducted elections. Now on the third year, you're going to say, well, we're only going to do one half of them. How does that, you know, how does that, how do you sell that? How do you sell that to the AG is my bottom question, bottom line question, if that were to come up? Now, we just handed in a whole bunch of documents. You know, hopefully that'll satisfy the Attorney General, but we don't know that for a fact. And if the bottom line is, we should be thinking about our membership, who has a right to vote, and should not be subjected to some LSB members that were supposed to be off 2 and 3 years ago. And they still hanging around. So anyway, I just don't understand how any of this argument is democratic. Any of this argument about we're afraid that some unseen force is going to come over and take over our LSB. How is I don't see how that's democratic.
Okay, thank you, Benito.
For now,
Bob Lederer to the stack.
Okay, Bob. Anybody else?
Oh, good, am I next? Okay.
You are.
Okay. Well, first I'll start with a small but significant point that no one has mentioned, which is that under Janet's proposal, I support Serene's motion. Under Janet's proposal, unless I'm completely misunderstanding it, the people who were elected in 2010 and whose terms would be up for re-election this year would, if they win, would only get a 1 year term. Is that right? Or at least the lower half of them, I should say. Or really anyone, right? It's you're creating a set of 1 year winners and 3 year winners, right? Is that accurate, Janet?
Serena.
Oh, okay.
It's not just the 2010. It's everybody.
Okay. Yeah. So actually, it applies regardless of who we're talking about. Is that I think that is a recipe for more added instability that we don't need at Pacifica. It's one thing, you know, when in the 2003 transition elections we had no choice. If we were going to stay true to the writers of the bylaws, I mean, that they said you have to stay true to this core principle of staggered elections. Therefore, one time only, the lower half of the winners will get a 1 year term. That was of necessity. And I understand that at KPFK this year, we happen to be in that situation of necessity and we have no choice. So those people, you know, half of the winners will get a 1 year term. But the idea of making that a general policy, I think is a really bad thing. I mean, first of all, it's very unfair to the candidates who have to, you know, less than a year goes by and now they're getting ready to gear up for yet another campaign and they barely, you know, if they're new, they've barely learned the ropes of what's what. And then just second of all, it creates undue kind of churn and turnover. But let me go to the more fundamental arguments that people have been raising. And I do respect the concerns that Lydia and Benito have been putting forward that, you know, that this issue of a so-called takeover seems perhaps distant and unlikely. But I would submit that, first of all, just because it hasn't happened doesn't mean it couldn't happen at some point. And we've certainly seen in a larger election system how this can absolutely has happened by all kinds of forces that are well organized and determined to do something. And they don't need to win 5 elections. They just need to win 3 of the 5 LSB elections, and then they have a majority on the PNB. So it's not a matter of them being this all-powerful nationwide force. But second of all, it doesn't have to be an outside force. You know, one of the weaknesses of the Pacifica system is this kind of exploitation of this situation in California law about anyone can send a mailing to anyone else, which is a fine idea in principle about promoting member-to-member communication. But what it has meant in practice is that those slates that have access to a lot of money can do a slick and I would submit at times, you know, deceptive mailing, and use gimmicks to collect names to build a mailing list, like offering free gifts and so on, so-called free gifts, and then become a force that can have undue influence, just like in the larger government elections. So that's the kind of, that's another kind of takeover to be concerned about, is the undue influence of money allowing certain, you know, different people or different groups to have undue influence through one election of all 24 seats. And as far as I'm concerned, if the bylaws are amended to lower that to 17, that doesn't make the problem less severe. It makes it more severe, because then it's even easier to win an election, you know, because there's fewer seats at stake. So I don't think the issue is, as was said before, that, you know, if we can't find 120 genuine people that are really interested in governance, we're in trouble. I mean, there are plenty of genuine people who have run in all of our elections. It's not, that's not, I don't think anyone has posed the issue is that we can't find enough candidates to run for 24 seats. It's that we can't, you know, prevent some untoward things from happening all at once, when it's much harder to prevent that from, you know, having very serious consequences. Much harder to reverse it when it happens in one election than if it just affects half the board at any one time. And just the last thing, I really sympathize with Benito's concern that the people elected in 2012, why should they get an extension of 1 year? It doesn't seem right, and so forth. And, you know, we're dealing with a bunch of bad options. They're all bad. I don't like any of them. But, you know, we're forced into this financial crisis, so we can't have two elections this year, as John Wenger was suggesting. It doesn't matter how much e-voting you do. The bylaws require there to be paper ballots as an option in every election. So that's, you know, it's not feasible to do two elections this year. So I just think, you know, to avoid this risk, which I think we can defend quite robustly to the AG. You know, that we can definitely find emails and minutes of meetings in 2002 and 3 when the bylaws were being debated about as to exactly why it was organized as staggered elections, precisely to avoid everything being at stake in one single national, you know, five-station election. I'll stop there.
Mal, Lawrence to the stack.
Okay.
I respect very much the notion that we should save money. And clearly, that's rather important to Pacifica. But if anyone bothers to look at who runs for our elections, they will see that we have a very steep decline from top to bottom in the ability to function as a board. All you have to do is look at the current KPFA board, and you will see we have reached the dregs of the list, and that's less than 24. But just listen to the last KPFA meeting, where Virginia Browning is now on the board. I mean that is really the absolute bottom. The point is that our listeners are listeners to a radio station, and in general they don't sign up to be running the damn thing. They only want to have good radio, and so to expect us to get in each station 24 decent people is just not rational. I mean, just look at the list. At least speaking for KPFA, just look at the list of the people who have tried to run in the last two elections we have won. Maybe if we eliminate seeing the leaders back on the board when there are resignations, that wouldn't be so bad. But it is terrible now, and so for that reason, I really can't support Janet's well-intentioned substitute. That's it.
Thank you. Janet?
Yeah, well, I think beauty is in the eyes of the beholder. So the remarks about who is part of the dregs or not or whatever, and naming names, I don't support that at all, that approach. Okay, so I wanted to respond to something that John, I think, said. Members can't handle all 24 candidates in one election ballot, something like that. And
yeah,
I happen to have higher regard for our members. But in any case, I don't, when it comes to, if it came to having two elections in 1 year, first of all, members, staff, everyone else, Pacifica, couldn't handle having two elections, getting the number of candidates, but just holding two elections in 1 year. We can't afford two elections in 1 year. And it has taken months and months and months to get to this point where we're even talking about these two election proposals. I also wanted to address something Bob said. This the 24, the election of all 24 in one election, it would be one time only. It would be the second time, you know, the 2003. It would not be a general policy. And the issue of undue influence of money, I think that needs to be addressed as a bylaws amendment, something about that as a bylaws amendment. I'll stop.
Thank you. Lawrence?
Yeah, I'm definitely on the fence on this one. I think both of them are terrible motions. I mean, no pun intended. It's really a horrible choice between both of them. So I'm on the fence. I don't know which way I'm going to go. I think the 24 seat, just the Janet's motion, I think it's going to be very expensive. Because it's going to require us to hold an election 1 year and then another year. That's going to be expensive. And so, and Serene's motion is reasonable, but it violates the spirit of the bylaws. So that's why I'm likely to abstain in regard to this motion. Thank you.
Anybody else want to speak on the issues?
Yeah, William Hairwagon.
William, I heard another voice. Who is that?
Lydia.
Lydia, before you go, anyone else who hasn't spoken yet want to speak on the issues? Okay, William, then Lydia.
And Benito later on.
Yes, I just wanted to also comment.
Yeah, Lydia, William, sit just ahead of you.
Oh, okay.
Thank you.
William, go ahead.
Okay, I don't know who's, I think it was Mal said that he respects the idea of trying to save money. I think maybe I'm wrong, but my analysis of the two motions is that it's the same number of elections, so there's no money to be saved. So that's I don't know if that's anything we should be even thinking about in relationship to these two motions. And then as far as the electing 24 at one time, you know, I agree that, you know, maybe Reverend Sun Young Moon isn't coming after us, but I think it's very serious. I think Bob Lederer said that, you know, or maybe it was somebody else, that we could have an internal takeover that very easily. And then someone else just said that, well, that's only one time. I think maybe Janet Coburn said that. That's only once we're trying to do this. Yeah, but all it takes is once. And you got 1 year to change every possible rule and practice and procedure, and it'll be a different Pacifica. You'll never recognize it. Because the people with the money that
can afford to take over.